You're listening to the Erasing Shame podcast, where we are encouraging Christian Asian mental health. I am your host, DJ Chuang. And on this episode, I'll be sharing about my experience at the first mental health summit specifically for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. And it all started when I got this invitation in the email, first week of July, and it said, on behalf of the White House Initiative on Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, we are pleased to invite you to the 2023 White House Initiative on AA and NHPI Mental Health Summit on July 20th, 2023 in Washington, D.C. Wow, I was so honored and blessed to be invited. And I checked with my wife and son with a few friends, and it was, well, we had to go. Even though I'm a volunteer doing what I do with this podcast and with the mental health initiative that I'm part of directing, this was a tremendous opportunity, invite-only event. And I happen to also have family that lives in Rockville, Maryland, so I made arrangements to go. The travel adventure was a whole nother story. I won't talk about it here, but maybe if you are interested in hearing about it, it was quite a travel adventure to get there. But I was able to get there on the last seat of the last flight or first flight out of Orange County. And the event was amazing. Amazing to be in the room where it happened. The very first inaugural mental health summit specifically for the needs in our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander communities. It was entirely live streamed and recorded, and I'll add a link in the show notes at erasingshame.com so you can also witness and be part of what happened in that room. Now, I wasn't sure exactly why I was invited. Perhaps it was because I did do a presentation in Rockville, Maryland at SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I did a presentation back in March on behalf of my role as a board member of Asian Mental Health Collective, AMHC, where we have been part of raising awareness, providing accessibility, and doing all kinds of things in a 100% digital platform, 100% volunteer until March of this year when we hired our first executive director. I'll tell a little bit more about what AMHC is doing later. So I thought it was because of that, because that was a direct connection to one of the hosts of this event. But when I arrived on the scene, the chief of staff of the White House Initiative on Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders warmly welcomed me. Her name is Jamie Locke, and she said that I was introduced to this event because of the Partnership Center. The Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships at the Department of Health and Human Services, Ben Odell. And Ben happened to be out of the office this week when the event happened, but now I knew why I was there, because of my work as the director of Christian Asian Mental Health. And this podcast is the digital outreach of the nonprofit initiative that I'm part of helping to launch. And we're only 6 months in. We're a very small operation, but we're enthusiastic, we're committed, and I can't wait for funding to make things happen because the need is so urgent. And so we've actually been running this podcast weekly, as often as I can anyways, striving for weekly since 2018. And we've recorded and published over 130 episodes now, and continue to do that as often as we can, as we have time and energy. And maybe one day funding will come. I don't know. We're praying for that as a person of faith. But so heartwarming and touched to be welcomed personally. And then a lady named Lark was one of the co-hosts of the event as well. She was part of the SAMHSA administration, SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. You have to learn a lot of acronyms to navigate the U.S. government. There's just a lot of agencies and departments and moving parts, and I mean, to be in the room where it happened, amazing. So just a quick overview of what happened. Again, you can watch the live stream, skip around on demand. Over 7 hours of video and presentations, as well as little stump speeches from people in the room. But what happened in the room? 5 sessions. The first was the impact of hate crimes, violence, racism, and microaggressions on mental health, harnessing collective and cultural strengths. These were mostly set up as panel discussions. Though it wasn't really panel discussion, it was a little 5-minute segments that each of the panelists got to present. There was a pleasant chime when their time ran out to move things along, although the opening remarks by the Secretary of the Department of Education and the Secretary of Health and Human Services and someone else, that kind of put things behind schedule, because we also started a little bit behind schedule. We finished early, so that was commendable, but keeping time is just always a challenge when it comes to these meetings. But the energy room was very dynamic, I shall say. Over 100 people in the room invited for this special summit. The second session, Beyond Stigma, Expanding Access and Integrating Care, one of the creative ideas that some of the community partners were doing, was while someone came in for healthcare and seeing the dentist, they would do a brief mental health assessment. They wouldn't call it mental health per se, but just finding ways to incorporate mental and emotional care into overall well-being. So that's kind of one of the ways that we can better navigate mental health as part of overall health for Asian Americans, because of our cultural nuances and discomfort with talking about mental health as such. Keynote speaker Richard Louie, anchor and journalist at MSNBC, shared a personal story of how he was auditioning for being a journalist, and it wasn't about what happened in front of the camera when it was on air, but what happened off camera. So that was kind of the main point of his talk. And being a very polished speaker, he stuck to his allotted time and was very personable for the time he was in the room. And he also wrote a memoir, so best-selling memoir, so probably an excerpt from that. The next 3 sessions after, or actually the keynote speaker happened after lunch. We had a 30-minute break for lunch, but no breaks throughout the day. There was just jam-packed content. The third session, Federal and Local Approaches to Advancing Equity and Mental Well-Being for Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander Communities. Fourth session, Navigating Innovative Models, Embracing New Solutions. And the final section, Leading with Language, Community, and Culture for AA and NHPI Mental Health. And that's where we really got to experience the cultural diversity, as one of the first panelists started by speaking in Cantonese. That's a Chinese dialect without translation for about 2 minutes. So we were having an immersive experience of the language barrier when it comes to getting mental health care for those who are native speaking Asian. And so for the rest of us that were English speaking, it's like, wow. So that's what it feels like to try to access something that we can't due to language barriers. And then we got to experience a good 5 minutes or so of line by line translation of Cantonese to English. We also saw a video segment of a sign language person, ASL. And ASL is provided on the live stream and recorded videos, so you can watch that over there. We don't have the resources to do that here yet, but one day we'd be happy to serve those who are deaf and need ASL. We're doing what we can with what we have, which is right now nothing, just sweat equity, because the need is so urgent. So a few minutes of my personal reflection as a, not only wearing the two hats that I did, which is director of Christian Asian Mental Health, as well as board member of Asian Mental Health Collective. If you want to remember the acronym, CAMH is Christian Asian Mental Health. AMHC is Asian Mental Health Collective. And it just so happens if you move the C to the first position or the last position, you get CAMH or AMHC. So those are my two roles in terms of what I'm trying to do to help with the mental health situation here in our Asian American communities. But I am also a person with lived experience, PWLE. And I struggle with managing my bipolar disorder, diagnosed 23 years ago at the age of 35. And so probably diagnosed late because of my own shame and stigma with getting mental health services. Asian Americans are three times less likely to access professional mental health care and services. And as it was mentioned at the summit, we particularly young adults in their 10s and 20s, have the highest suicide rate. And so the need is urgent for mental health care, not just for that demographic age group, but for everybody along the spectrum in Asian American communities. And one of the global research projects called Lancet Commission noticed and identified that the key to really erasing shame and stopping stigma when it comes to mental health is really centering people with lived experience. Centering people with lived experience. And the way they did that at the summit, they had two students that were interns at one of the mental health organizations out in Oakland, California. They shared during the first two sessions about their own experience of microaggression and anti-Asian hate and the struggle to get mental health care. And that was a most touching moment. And I wonder what it would look like if we incorporate more of people with lived experience in every segment that was involved. Although the last segment with the language presentation in Cantonese, that was a good example of lived experience. And we just incorporate more of that rather than talking about just programs, but how does that connect with people with lived experience? Another experience I'll share here is just how big our nation is and how big our government is. And so to be one of 100 invited to that event was such a special honor. And I wish I could share more of that with you. But I just wanted to take a few minutes on this episode to share with you in hopes of opening up the conversation, especially in our digital world, Asian American communities, Asian American faith communities that are Christian, especially because we need many, many more of those conversations, relationships, partnerships, and collaborations. Now, the government is good at doing what they do. They're good at governing, coming up with policies, regulations, and procedures. And so very structured, very formal in a lot of ways. And so the summit reflected a lot of that. And the recurring theme from not just the stage, but also from the floor, many people, they did make time and room for people to say a few words after each of the panels shared their presentations. So I wasn't watching the clock, but many people in the room did get to share, maybe 30, 40% of them. And funding, the need for funding was repeatedly shared. And yes, that is a need in doing the work of mental health care in all kinds of ways, in community-based organizations, they call those CBOs, in programs, in making government programs more accessible. And when it comes to funding, well, could they make funding more accessible, easier to apply for normal people, for small nonprofits? Yeah, navigating the government is challenging. It's like you need a human translator to decode all the acronyms, all the jargon and specialized language with metrics and outcomes. And we don't know the difference between outcomes and outputs as a normal person. Anyways, I won't get into that, but just to mention, it is challenging, a lot of friction. And I know there's standard operating procedures, SOPs. I know there's policies, there's regulations. There's a certain way of doing things, but the average person who is not well-versed, doesn't have a political science degree, doesn't work in the nonprofit world, just trying to do good with their passion, with their energy, with their compelling need, because the need is so great. Boy, if we could make it easier for us, for them, that would be tremendous. So many people got to share their concerns, their work, their needs. I didn't raise my hand because I don't think very quickly on my feet. And I have a podcast, so I can share a little bit more here at my own time, at my own pace. And perhaps I'll reach a few more people this way, people outside of the room. Because actually, I mean, with so many people talking in the room, I'm not sure how many people remembered what was shared. Certainly not everything that was shared, because it was a lot. And to really learn something, it takes repeated exposure. And that's why we do what we do here at Erasing Shame. We constantly, regularly have to talk about erasing shame, because stopping stigma and erasing shame about mental health in Asian American communities is more than half the battle. It's not just getting the programs and getting culturally relevant language translated services available. There's a lot of need there too. But if people aren't going to get that, the stigma and shame part, we're not going to connect the dots and help people. Now, I was pleasantly surprised to hear that faith leaders and communities were mentioned by Juliet Choi. She's the CEO and president of APIAHF, Asian and Pacific Islander American Health Forum. So that was really kind of her to recognize the tremendous opportunity for partnership and collaboration with faith communities to really reach Asian Americans. And I'll mention why that's important in just a second. And got to meet my friend from Atlanta, Pastor Jin Lee, who's a board member of Mustard Seed Generation. He's been a guest here on the Erasing Shame podcast. And he got to talk more with Juliet Choi. So I hope that was a fruitful conversation, a fruitful conversation that'll bear fruit later. And also reconnected with Tony Kim, who's now the director of spiritual care with NAE, National Association of Evangelicals. Just a few names I want to mention because I appreciate them. So good to connect with them and hopeful for follow-up conversations we will have in the coming weeks and months and perhaps years ahead, because we need those relationships, those friendships to do this work for the long term. So I would say it's not just funding we need friendships. We know that we need those relationships to really go for the long haul. And that was my suggestion. They use this thing called thought something. And it was an online platform where we could use QR codes and type in a little 300 character comment for our feedback to each of the panels and what we hope to see at the summit. And my was one of the top voting thoughts, ideas for what could really help this summit to be valuable for people. And that would be relationships. And so my hope for the future with the summit, that it would continue, it will happen again. There wasn't any commitments or announcements there, though sometimes when organizations and companies and government agencies do these events, that comes with an announcement of what's next. But so there wasn't that. They did get capture a lot of feedback from the digital platform. Of course, they have the live stream recorded. So if someone, maybe in some interns or staff, were to do a transcription of what happened there, they could analyze the feedback and come up with some studies or reports or inform the next decision of what they might do. That would be awesome, not in my hands. But what I would love to see is the use of digital innovation, not just innovation in so-called models, but digital innovations. We're living in the 21st century, 2023. We just went through COVID, 2 years of practice using digital tools like Zoom and blogging and social media and podcasting and Reddit and Twitter that's now being called X. We could be having these conversations not just once in a blue moon in a room, but we could be having these conversations 24/7 and move it along. I would love to see that. I would love to be a part of that. We're doing that at AMHC, Asian Mental Health Collective. We have a Facebook group. It's private to make sure it remains a safe place with over 61,000 members. These are Asian Americans and Asians around the world even, where they have a safe place to anonymously post about their mental health challenges or family situations or relationships and find others who can give them a word of encouragement and a safe place to be heard. That is tremendous. I know in my own struggle, just to have someone that would listen with empathy and not judge me is so, so, so valuable. So that's one of the things that we do at AMHC. And I'm thrilled that my colleague, executive director, Aisha Mir, did pick up the mic during the event and shared about the work of AMHC with its therapist directory, Asian American Therapist Directory in the US and Canada, providing language access in 23 languages, including ASL. It's the largest directory of Asian American mental health providers. So that's freely available. We also provide subsidized therapy at no cost due to thanks to our generous sponsors, corporate sponsors, and donors like you on the AMHC side of things. Here at the CAMH side of things, we've got a few donors now. So thank you for donating and supporting the work we're doing here at the Erasing Shame podcast, also helping me to afford the opportunity to attend events like the summit. And I'm going to mention another event coming up that you are invited to. We'd love to meet you there or join you online. So CMH, we do this weekly podcast. We attend events to cultivate relationships and potential partnerships. And we do real on the ground, in person, as well as online partnerships with churches. So one of the main things that we want to do is partner and collaborate with churches to develop mental health ministries in those churches, which will do two things, which will erase shame and stop stigma and provide mental health care right there where people meet on a weekly basis. And that's the thing that faith communities have. And if I were, and I do, have the opportunity to speak directly to the White House Initiative and the Health and Human Services and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, faith communities is your best opportunity to scale mental health care and services to Asian Americans across the country. Faith communities are the only place that gather Asian Americans on a weekly basis. And to have a place of belonging and communities is vital for the long-term recovery of those who struggle with mental health. Dr. Thomas Insel said it in his book, Healing, and he was director of the National Institute for Mental Health, that for long-term recovery, people need three P's: people, place, and purpose. And that's what faith communities provide. And so while funding important programs for language access, for innovative models of providing services and programs at a broad level, can reach people one at a time, with churches and faith communities, you can reach hundreds of people at a time. Do the math on that. Okay, there's over 9,000 Christian churches in Asian communities. So that's the focus that I'm putting my energy behind. There's a couple more thoughts for the future. There are other organizations in the room that can also convene, not just summits broadly on a national basis, but also gatherings that could be working groups, roundtables, really address and work on the issues to increase access, to be more strategic, to be more effective with how we provide mental health services to more people more effectively. And so I was thrilled to see Norman Chen, the CEO of the Asian American Foundation, in the room, and also the other DJ in the room, DJ Ida, who is the founder and director of the National Asian American Pacific Islander Mental Health Association, NAPIMA. So it's not that we need more meetings, but we do need more relationships, more friendships, not just funding, and bridges for partnerships to do this work together, because the work is so big, we can't do it alone. I mean, we do do it alone, but we would do more when we do it together. And then last thought I would share about a future summits and gatherings like that, so that Asian American communities can be smarter and working better together on this mental health crisis, is the 50-50 idea. I would like to see at least 50% of the room younger than 50 years old. I just turned 57 this summer. And so anytime I step into the room talking about the future of anything, I want to see and expect to see and hope to see the room to be at least 50% younger than me. But just for easier math, 50-50, 50% of the room younger than 50. If we're going to talk about anything, planning or creating the future. And then likewise, when it comes to who gets the mic, who gets the airtime, 50% presentation, no more than that. And 50% should be conversational, two-way conversation, either around the table or in the room where people can respond to each other. 50-50 principle. I hope that's helpful. I believe it is. And closing word, I'm so grateful to be invited and to share this invitation from the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Compress that down, it's just called the Partnership Center. And they are putting together a one-day event on September 7th, which is, I think it's a Thursday, in Washington, D.C., at the Hubert Humphrey Building, which is the HHS building where the summit also took place. And the event is called Connecting at the Intersection of Faith, Community, and Mental Health. And they're going to address some very practical topics, very valuable. Space is limited. Topics include improving youth mental health and suicide prevention, faith, addiction, and recovery, leading while bleeding, addressing leadership burnout, faith-led mental health initiatives, replicating the best models and practices, expanding houses of worship to offer mental and behavioral health services, capacity building. And the last one, and this one will get the most attention, I think, funding opportunities. Yes, grants, resources, and philanthropic roundtable. So thank you, Ben O'Dell, Dr. Q English, for putting together this event. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you for opening the invite to the public. I got permission to share this with you. Sign up early if you're able to be there in the room at Washington, D.C. on September 7th. The theme, urgency of now, the urgency of now. And yes, it is urgent. We've got to make faster, more progress in mobilizing faith communities and mental health in the intersection, because that intersection is energetic, it's synergistic, it can do a lot of good, because God is on our side, God in the midst of what we're doing. It's the most urgent need in our generation, right along with our spiritual need, and it's all connected. So September 7th, you're invited to come to Washington, D.C., be in the room where it happens. Thank you, Partnership Center, for hosting this event. The link to get registered, mentalhealth.bible/urgency. And I'll add a link in the show notes at Erasing Shame. I'm planning to be there. Would love to meet you in person. And they're providing the live stream. So if you're only able to tune in for the keynotes, that's worth doing to register there at mentalhealth.bible/urgency, or click on the link in the show notes. And if you like to watch Summit, the video link is also there in the show notes at erasingshame.com. This concludes my debrief on this amazing experience at the first Mental Health Summit for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. Thank you for listening or watching all the way to the end of this episode of Erasing Shame. I would love to have a conversation with you. Add a note, message on erasingshame.com. I've even got an anonymous voicemail if you want to leave me a voice message. My contact info is all there. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I'll even give out my phone number. So if you liked using the phone and text me or give me a call, my number is 949-243-7260. That's here in California, Pacific time zone. If I'm not able to answer, I might be sleeping or in a meeting, but I would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening and watching Erasing Shame. Let's continue the conversation and make a difference.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of Christian Asian Mental Health.